Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for today, for coming to giving us time to come here at lunchtime to learn about what we can do with anxiety and what are the different wisdom that we can seek from the Bible, and help us to put our trust in you so we can have peace through anxiety. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Well, it's a pleasure to be here this afternoon. I can officially say this is the first time I've ever given a Bible talk on a boat. Hopefully won't be the last. It's very, very exciting. So if it's your first time here, please don't worry, because it's also my first time here. So we'll see how we do. This afternoon, we're going to be looking at Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, which you'll find on the inside of your service sheets. But if you want to follow along in the Bibles, it's page 1181. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Well, what are you looking forward to this afternoon? What good thing is coming up? Or what is it that makes you happy? What motivates you? Maybe you enjoy your job. Maybe you enjoy getting home from your job. Looking forward to time off and relaxing, or being with the people you love. Maybe you have a hobby, something that helps you unwind and relax. Or maybe you've got a holiday coming up. They're always good things to look forward to, aren't they? But the problem is, there's a lot of dissatisfaction in the world, especially in the last couple of years. Now, putting this extremely mildly, some people are very cross about politics. I think that's a fair assessment. Others are very cross about the health service. And dare I even mention the word Brexit? And lots of horrible things have happened, haven't they? Attacks on Westminster, Manchester, Tower Bridge, and the disaster at Grenfell. And thinking back to last year, lots of celebrity deaths, lots of sadness. A friend of mine was chatting the other day to a doctor who's been doing her job for about 20 years. And my friend asked her what changes she'd seen, having spent 20 years as a doctor. And a big thing that she noticed, in fact, the biggest thing that she noticed, was the rise of mental health issues. And that is interesting, isn't it? As society seems to progress, we've got new technology, supposedly we have more money, and depression is on the rise. So how do we feel this afternoon when we read what Paul says? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Be happy because of God, he says. Do we feel like that? What if we don't feel like that? Is this verse impossible? No. Paul's saying that the Philippians can be happy because of God, because of what God has done for them. He's rescued them. They have peace with God. They're his children. They don't have to be scared of his anger anymore, because Jesus took it. And he's saying the same to us too. Here's what we're going to see in this short passage. You'll find some notes on the inside of your service sheet. They'll also be on the screen as well. So because of the gospel, what God's done for us, Paul says we can be joyful about God. We can not worry but pray about everything, because God's peace is with us. So firstly, be joyful about God. Paul has already said to the Philippians, Christ himself was like God in everything, but he gave up his place with God and made himself nothing. Jesus, the Bible tells us, is the Son of God. He tells us and shows us what God is like. He gave up his place with God and made himself nothing. He was born as a man and became like a servant. Jesus came to us, he stayed God and was born as a man for us. Jesus lived the perfect life. He loved his Father as a son should. He lived his way. He listened to him and did what he said. He did what we can't do. He said yes to God's plan and no to himself. Not like us. We don't do that. Automatically, we say no to God and yes to me. And that is how the Bible defines the word sin. Jesus listened to his Father God, even when that caused his death on a cross. He took all of our badness and gave us his goodness. We need him to do that because we're stuck in our badness. We face God's right anger because we've said no to him. But Jesus takes that all away. He gives us a perfect record of listening to God all the time. It's a bit like if you ever have a bad appraisal at work and you can't get out of it. But someone takes your name off and puts their name on it instead. That's why Jesus died and he rose again. We are in him. That's the language the Bible uses. We are in Christ. Well, what on earth does that mean? Well, I want to take you back to the year 2016. I want to take you back to the glorious summer for Welsh sport. Because the Welsh football team got to the Euro semi-final. And we have never done that since the 50s and probably never will again. But it was brilliant. I spent my birthday watching them in the semi-final. I watched them lose the semi-final, but they were in the semi-final and that's what mattered. Now, because Wales are my home team, what happened to them in some way happens to me. When they win a match, I say, we won. I mean, I wasn't there. I did not play. Good news for the team on that one. But because I support them, because they're my team, when they win, I can say, we won. It's a bit like that with Jesus. Because I'm stuck to him. What happens to him happens to me. I'm God's child. I'll rise from the dead. I'll be with God in his new creation one day. And nothing can unstick me from God. No matter how rubbish it gets. And that is brilliant news. But it's hard to remember. Bad and sad things happen. It's easy to forget about God and what he's done. So that is why Paul tells us twice in one verse, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Well, what does that look like? If I want to remember things, I need to tell myself over and over again. I need other people to tell me as well. It's the same with God. He's told us everything we need to know about himself in his word, the Bible. If you're here for the first time, if you've never read any of the Bible before, can I encourage you to give it a go? This church does give out free Bibles. Why not take some time to read one? Read one with a friend, read one over coffee, read one with Netflix on in the background. It's fine. Get your family and friends to help you. Or come to church and be taught about what it means. But if you're here this afternoon and you do believe what the Bible says, how much are we reading it? I have to fight to read the Bible every day. Because being honest, my phone usually wins the competition for my attention. But if I have anxieties in my life that threaten to overwhelm me, I need to read the Bible every day. Not so I can call myself a good little Christian, but as a lifeline to help myself remember God is always good when everything else seems bad. We don't need to look around at the world and give up. because we can remind ourselves of what God is like. We can remind ourselves of who we are in Christ, God's child, safe forever. That is what peace with God means. And I've got to fight to remember that. Because I'm part of those statistics about depression. I have good days and I have bad days. My medication helps. But as well as that, I need to look beyond my fluctuating emotions to a God who remains faithful. I need his word, the Bible, and his people, the church, to help me rejoice in the Lord. I can't do it on my own. To remember that I'm completely safe in him, whatever happens. That is why we can be joyful about God. Secondly, don't worry, but pray about everything. Have a look at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We can ask our Heavenly Father for things. He knows what we need and he wants us to ask him for it. So don't worry, even if some things are going to happen that you don't like. Because what can we ask for in verse 6? Everything. Everything. We can pray about everything because God is in charge of everything. He's perfect. He knows everything about everything all at once. He's all powerful and he's everywhere. We know what we can thank God for because we've just seen how good he is. We can ask him for everything. He's in charge. But just imagine if God wasn't in charge. Imagine what it would look like. On the screen is a famous poem from the Bible called Psalm 23. It's a prayer from King David. He's someone who's not being anxious about anything, but praying about everything. He talks about God a lot. Now, what happens if we take every mention of God out of Psalm 23? I'll show you. We're left with, even if I walk through a very dark valley in front of my enemies. That is all we've got if we take God out of Psalm 23. We need God. We just can't make it on our own in the pursuit of happiness. God is the one who defines joy and hope and the one who brings true joy and hope. And he wants us to lean on him, to ask him, to get on our knees and beg him as our Father to give us what we need. To be completely dependent on him. Now, who's had dinner with a dog in the room? What do dogs do when they realize you've got food? They stare at you. They make their eyes go just a little bit wider. They make themselves look as adorable as possible, and they are fixated on the food in front of you. They will not leave you alone until you either give it to them or kick them out. It's all the dog can think about. If only we saw prayer like that. Because that's what praying about everything means, relying on God who listens to us. Now, I've recently become a godfather. My goddaughter is lovely. She is officially the best. I know I'm biased, but it's also official. But my goddaughter is totally dependent. She can't just head down to a cafe when she's hungry. She depends on her parents. And she's got quite a novel way of getting our attention. She does not cry. Oh no, that's too old school for this baby. This baby dances. I kid you not, arms, legs, everything. It's hilarious. And she's totally dependent. If she needs us, she'll get our attention. If only we saw prayer like that. Because the solution to worry is prayer. That doesn't mean the bad stuff always goes away, but it helps us remember God never goes away too. He's with us by his Spirit, helping us remember who he is, who we are, and helping us pray to him. Now, I'm not very good at prayer. When things don't go the way I want, I either get like that, or like that. No variation, it's going to be one of those two reactions. Maybe you do as well. Last Christmas, I was getting ready to speak on this very passage on New Year's Day. And a couple of days beforehand, my wife and I decided to go out to Nando's, spend the Christmas vouchers. Now, my wife left her bag in Nando's. We didn't know she'd done that until the next morning. And of course, I had this very passage buzzing around in my head. So I took my anxious wife aside. And I said, possibly with a Morgan Freeman-esque voice, "Don't be anxious, my dear. Let us pray." No, of course I didn't do that. I started ranting and raving. "You can't be trusted with anything," I said. "I don't believe this," I shouted. Not my proudest moment as a husband, has to be said. And then 2 days later, I got to speak on this passage about not worrying. But can you see what I did? I've forgotten to be joyful because of God. I've forgotten he's in charge. I've forgotten who I am, and so I've forgotten him. That's why we need help, to remember who God is. And that's something we can ask for his help with as we pray. We can ask him about the big things and the little things. If you want a simple way to remember what prayer is, have a think about this. Prayer is a conversation with God, asking him to do his thing because of what he's done for us. Prayer is a conversation with God. He started the conversation with us through Jesus. Asking him to do his thing. In other words, to do what he has said and promised he will do. Because of all we've seen that he's done for us. Made us and saved us. That is how we get through worry. So why not, as well as read a bit of the Bible every day, take a bit of time to talk to God every day? It really helps. And again, I have to fight to do this. If prayer is something you struggle with, can I recommend a brilliant little app called PrayerMate? It's really good. You can get it on Android. You can get it on iPhone. You can put all your contacts into it. You can subscribe to online feeds. And it even sets an alarm saying, "Time to pray?" It's very, very good. Let's not be anxious because of what God's done for us. Be joyful about God. Don't worry, but pray about everything. And finally, because God's peace is with us. Have a look at verse 7. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We have peace with God. We're his friends. We're his children. He's got us and will never, ever let us go, even in the hardest times. Whatever worries you, he's bigger. He's better. He's got you. The truth about Jesus dying for us and making us right with God, that never goes away. If we have it, we can't lose it. Otherwise, God's a liar. Because he's promised to keep his people, and he will. He's the perfect promise keeper in Scripture. He's unmatched. So be joyful in God. Remember him. Use the Bible. Use church. Use family and friends to help you. Don't worry when things don't go the way you want. Pray about it. Talk to God every day. Talk to him. Ask for his help. Remember, his peace is with you. Even in the hardest times, God doesn't stop being in charge. He's got you. Now, maybe for some of us, this might sound a bit glib or a bit dismissive. This talk was advertised about talking about dealing with anxiety. And they've got this young upstart here to say, well, the answer is read your Bible and pray. This passage is not saying that our anxieties aren't big or that they don't matter. Of course they do. A Bible teacher called Christopher Ash writes that there are two places that people can be sitting when thinking through these questions of worries and suffering. There's people who are sat asking the armchair question, the intellectual detached discussion, the philosophizing. Or there are people who are asking the wheelchair question. People who are in the thick of it, worried because they've got a very good reason to be worried. So I don't know where you're sat today. Maybe it's on the armchair, maybe it's in the wheelchair. This passage is not meant to utilize the stiff upper lip against anxiety. This passage is to assure us, if we trust Jesus, that our anxieties are not the end of the story. They threaten to overwhelm, but there's something bigger than our worries, and that is the peace of God that passes understanding. The pursuit of happiness is not a quick fix. It's cultivating a lifelong trust in the peace of God that has us wrapped safe and secure. In that film, The Pursuit of Happiness, one man overcomes a life of poverty and homelessness to become a successful businessman with financial security. It's a good film. It's a good story. It's a true story. It's a good thing that happened to him. Maybe we feel happy already this afternoon, and everything I've said sounds nice, but it's a crutch for people who need it, and that just isn't me. Well, here's the thing. Whatever we trust, because we all do trust something, whatever we trust outside of God, it's not going to last. Jobs don't last. Money doesn't last. What is it that gives you hope? What do you trust in? If you're not a Christian here with us today, I am very glad that you are here. This truth isn't a crutch for the weak. It's a hope for the hopeless. So I do urge you to consider it. Please do come and talk to me. If you are a Christian, I hope you're encouraged that the God you trust is perfect and he has you. That's not going to change. Circumstances change, emotions change, God doesn't change. He's got us. That is peace. Peace of God and the hope he gives in God the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I mentioned earlier that I spoke on this passage on New Year's Day, the first day of 2017. Looking back on 2016, which, let's face it, apart from Welsh football, wasn't really a good year. So I encouraged the church and myself to make these verses our verses for the year, to keep going back to them, to keep returning to them all the time. But less than 7 days after I spoke, my college principal, someone who I looked up to greatly and considered a friend and someone to lean on, died very suddenly. In less than a week, my challenge to remember these verses had their first major test. And looking back on these verses now, over halfway through the year, to be honest, for me anyway, 2017 hasn't been that much better since 2016. But does that mean these verses are wrong? No, of course it doesn't. I've got more reason to trust them and run to them when anxiety threatens to overwhelm. Admittedly, having depression makes that fight harder in its own way. But just because I keep changing, God doesn't. He's got me. He's got you, if you know and trust that peace today. So when you're riding the tube tonight and you're worried about something, don't be anxious. Pray. If you lie awake tonight, pray. Or if you can't face getting up in the morning, pray. Not so life gets easy, but so that you know that God is King and he wants you to ask him for things. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Why don't I talk to God now as we close? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news of Jesus. We thank you that though we have all rejected you, you sent him, your only Son, to die in our place and give us hope of eternal life with you through his resurrection from the dead. Thank you, we can be joyful about you outside of our own circumstances. Father, for those of us who are anxious this afternoon, help us to turn that into prayer. For those we know and love who are not here but are facing big worries, help us to pray for them and to share these words with them. And may your peace guard us in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.